Put down the burrito and let's go.
Welcome to the Fat to Fit or Else podcast.
Yeah.
Where we talk about fitness, food, motivation, and general angry rants from the fat man himself, Stretch Roberts. So get ready for all of the above with a side of bacon. Here is your host, Stretch.
I guess you don't have to put the burrito down if it's a healthy burrito. Is there such a thing as a healthy burrito? I know I was once chastised by a person who shall remain nameless. We will just call the mean spiral lady for having a low-carb tortilla. She was very offended that I would eat a low-carb tortilla. But I'm with you. They're kind of garbage. Real tortillas are so good. Corn or flour, they're really, really good. But a healthy burrito, that's a thing. Could you do a healthy one? I know there's people that do. I do a vegetarian burrito. I'm sorry. Anything cooked at a restaurant is going to be loaded with too much sodium and everything. I guess you could make one at home, technically. But I don't know. There's people that think Chipotle is healthy. I'm just saying. There's people that think that. And that is very far from the truth. Now, it is a healthier option than a lot of the burger places, but, and you could have a salad there, and that's healthy, the salads there. You can eat very unhealthy salad, too. I love that McDonald's, I don't know if they still do, I think it was a long time ago, when they had it was basically a salad with chicken nuggets on it. Just shoot yourself in the foot. I'm going to have a salad, then I'm going to drown it with fried pieces of chicken and tons of, the god-awful sauce that Jack in the Box ruins all their food with, freaking ranch. Oh, I literally gagged thinking of it. It disgusts me. Ranch and mayo are vile to me. Just disgusting and incredibly unhealthy. So lay off the thing. That's the one good thing about being disgusted by salad dressing in general, is that when I eat salad, it's just plain salad with, I like crunchy stuff in it, so I'll put some type of nuts, hopefully better than a crouton or something like that, which is not as healthy, and or almond slivers, and there we go, and that's about it. So that does help me. I am proud to tell you I obliterated the challenge. Let's get into the breakdown of the steps. I told you guys I was on track to kill it, and I did. And I'm still, okay, twice I got close to 10,000 steps, and then on Saturday, which is the one day I really have freedom in my life, I got 12,000 steps. That was my biggest day, and that really locked the challenge up for me. My goal this week was to do 55,000 steps, and actually, I think my goal was 50,000 steps, and I killed that because I did 62,754 is what I ended up with. 8905 on Monday, 9737 on Tuesday, 8372 on Wednesday, and then 9557 on Thursday. So at that point, I only had just 20,000 steps to get in the next 3 days. And on Friday, you know what's weird is I took my walk on Friday, but I went, it was, and this is how you fail challenges, and this is how things happen in your life. I have been, like I tell you guys, I walk my dogs. I prefer to just walk Ice, the new dog. That's the goal because he's really, really good. It's such a nice walk when it's just Ice and I. But when I bring the female German Shepherd, she goes into alpha dog. She wants to lead. She wants to pull. She wants to kill everything that goes by her. And then Ice follows her. The Raptors are a pack that are it's a whole thing when they get in pack mentality. Now, I do, though, I'm not going to leave my German Shepherd at home. She's been here 2 years, 3 years we've had her. I'm not going to leave her here and just take him out. That would be messed up, and those dogs are psycho jealous on top of it, and she's really smart. So I take them both if my wife doesn't want to go. Happened to be on Friday, my wife goes, I want to go, but I just want to go on a quick around. We live on like a weird street that kind of loops around. She goes, I just want to go around the loop. So which that's a very short walk. That's not 4,000 steps in that walk. That's about a 3,000 step walk. I've checked it. And so I'm like, okay. And that was already late, and it was Friday, and I got home. And so that torpedoed me. And Friday at work, nothing was going on out in the yard. I left my desk, you know, to go to the break room or to the bathroom. That was as much walking as I got in on Friday. I think I went outside one time before outside of that. And then I was just inside watching my camera. So that'll get you. And what'll happen when you, as I increase the steps, which I'm going to do, I'm going to do another step challenge this week. I'm calling it right now at 65,000. So I did 62,754 and I had a bad Friday. So I know if I don't have a bad Friday, I'll hit that challenge. That without a problem, I'll hit that challenge. But I also got to have another 12,000 step day in there. And I've never had one of those since I've started monitoring. So I think that's a good, solid challenge, 65,000. We'll come up with the punishment, the or else part of the challenge by the bonus pod on Friday, and we'll see where it goes. So that's where the steps went, walking the dogs, having a good time. The dogs haven't killed anyone since then. They've no more UPS man drama. God. But, man, it's all of this hinges on, even though the new dog is very puppy-like because he's just not had any life experience outside of a cage, that he follows her lead on almost everything, and she's aggressive as F. The new dog needs training, and he needs some obedience classes, and we got to keep working with him. But he's just it's a pack mentality, and she's the leader of the pack, and when she goes, he goes. Like, and the perfect example is we were having dinner last night, and the female shepherd just starts barking and freaks out. Well, freaking Raptor number two immediately puts the hair up on his back and runs to the front door and is now waiting for something to come to the front door so he can attack it. And so I'm like, what is going on? And the female shepherd's barking and freaking out. And my wife's like, somebody must be dropping off a package at the door, and they know. Okay, that sounds possible. Well, my wife opens the door. There's no one there. There's nothing there. And I'm sure, because the windows are open because it's so damn hot, that somebody walked by walking their dog, and she heard the dog or smelled the dog or something, and she freaked out because she's a tick. And number two just fell right in line. And he doesn't react to dogs typically. He's just like, he'll sit there and look at a dog walk by. He reacts to people, I'm noticing, a lot, but not so much to dogs. Dogs, he could care less. The only thing he reacts to is we have a lot of rabbits in our neighborhood right now, a lot of baby rabbits too. And then as you're walking, they'll sprint out in front of you and run across the street. And when they're running, he'll react like he wants to chase them, but he doesn't bark or go crazy. And boy, is that fun. Because you're never ready for it when a little rabbit shoots out when you get too close to it. It's hiding in a bush. Oh, whoa. You got to be ready for that crap. So that's where we are. Ozempic update. I want to stay honest and be informative to you. I know a lot of people really want to try Ozempic. If you are borderline pre-diabetic or you have type 2 diabetes, you probably are already on it. Your doctor, I would imagine, has suggested it to you. Here's where I am. You know what? I haven't weighed because I haven't been doing weight challenges. When I do weight challenges, I weigh myself every day. I haven't weighed all week. But just feel-wise, that's the most important thing to me, is if you can stick to something. Like when I did the carnivore diet, weight loss-wise, that's amazing if you can stick to it. But I felt like just, ugh. That's what I felt like. That's the best way to describe it. Ugh. I just didn't feel right. And then I started really getting weird, and I knew I was in trouble with blood sugar levels because I was having zero carbs for the 10 days I did that. But this is my Ozempic update. Over the weekend, I was, Friday, Saturday, I was hungry. And that's what I'm noticing. This bigger dose wears off. And by the end of the week, I am back to being hungry. So I get like, I'll give it 5 days of really good where you don't get hungry at all. In fact, I took it today, was my injection day. And tonight I made dinner, and I made 2 turkey burgers for myself, and I ate one and it was delicious. And then the second one, I literally took one bite of it and couldn't eat another bite. I was completely stuffed full. And so that's weird. But before the medication kicked in, I had like a Mexican buffet at my parents' house. We got everybody together. We have a lot of birthdays in the family. And July and August, one of my nieces and my daughter and my dad, and then my brother-in-law's birthday also today. So we had a lot of family stuff, but and that's always cool. So we were able to get all of that in, but we had Mexican food in like buffet style, served up, ordered up at my parents. My brother and his wife went and got it. Solid, solid gold. Love that. And I was hungry as hell and ate like regular champion, because at that point the Ozempic had not, I hadn't even taken it. That was earlier today, and then when I got home I took it tonight, and by the time I made dinner, that was it. I took a little nap though, got a nap in. My buddy Ice decided to be nice and let me take a nap, and he took one with me. It was wonderful. All right, let's get into the drama that is my life that happened over the weekend. Nothing to do with working out other than my back hurts like hell because I am old as F and I had to work my ass off, and I am seriously pissed at Home Depot and want to sue them. I go to Home Depot. One I go to is in Marina Del Rey, and that's the closest one to my house. I go. We have a toilet in my bathroom that suddenly started leaking, which it's just old and it's been having like all kinds of problems with the float and all the junk inside, but it's 20 years old. And because we remodeled that bathroom, when we did, we put that toilet in, and I was so proud of that toilet. I here's a weird thing as a dude. I loved my toilet. It wasn't specially made for me, but it was expensive in the sense of it was a bigger toilet. It was higher. Like, I'm 6'5" and I'm damn near 300 pounds. Like, I need a man-sized toilet. You can't have one of those little round bowl crappers. We have that in the girls' bathroom, and I can't. It's just like, what is this? I feel like I'm sitting on a Barbie doll toilet. So I had my big toilet, and it just, rest in peace. It was done. It was time for a new one. It just was, everything in it was bad, and then it started leaking around the side, which means that the wax ring had deteriorated, and it was bad. So I broke down, went to Home Depot, bought a toilet. Go in, find one, the bigger size, blah, 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 all the crap that I want. And I get it home. And just so you know, there's zero help for stretch in this house. I live with two women, my wife and my daughter. And if I am not there like the butler, like the lawn jockey sitting at the front yard for when my wife pulls up into the driveway when she goes to the store to help unload whatever it is and bring it in, it's like a federal case. Then I can pull up with like a sofa and a refrigerator in the car, and it'll be like, what? Like they're not helping me, period. It's me alone. In fact, if I have to, I'll call my son and be like, will you come over to my house? I need you to help me do something on this. What I'll do, because the women in this house are not helping me do crap. All right, just so you know, toilets are pretty heavy. And when they're in the box, they're pretty heavy. It's a big box that is pretty heavy. And the great news is it fit in my car. So I go by the toilet, and I get up early because, well, Ice makes me get up early. We go for a walk, and then I head off to Home Depot. I get there. I'm at Home Depot before 8 a.m., get my toilet, get it in the car, and just getting it off the shelf and into the cart is a problem. Like, it's heavy. Then I get it out, and I get it in my car. Then I get home, and now I got to get it out of the car into my house. My house is 5 steps up, so I got to get it up some steps. And I get it in. I start unpacking, look at it, see the directions. Okay, I got this. Then I take the old toilet out, which is another project. And it says on the toilet, 10-minute installation. Cool. This, and it really should have been about, I say 10 minutes is a little drastic. Typical non-skilled laborer like myself, 30 minutes. Should have been about a 30-minute project. So I get it unpacked, and when I get deep down into the bag, the toilet bowl is completely crushed into like 20 pieces. And I am furiously pissed. And toilet bowls, yes, they're made out of technically glass, porcelain, but they're really, really durable. So I get the damn thing, and I'm furious. I'm flaming pissed, because remember, I live at the beach, and there's beach traffic here, and it's a hellhole. So I load that bitch back in the box, put all the crap back in the box. I go back to Home Depot. I get My second one, I go in, hey, I got this home and it shattered into a million pieces. What the F? And the box wasn't smashed. There was no sign that that thing was damaged. And they're like, oh, did you buy a return? And I'm like, no. In fact, I grabbed one off the shelf first, and then I looked and could tell it had been retaped. And I'm like, this is a return. I do not want this. I put that one back, and I grabbed another one that hadn't ever been opened. And it was crushed. So I come back, and before I leave the store the second time, I'm shaking that thing. I'm turning it upside down. I'm like, if it makes a single noise, I am getting another one. And it's, all right, perfect. Get it in the car, which is not easy. So I've now loaded it in my car, brought it to my house, brought it into my house, brought it out of my house, loaded it in my car, brought it back to Home Depot, brought it back inside, got another one, got it, put it back in my car, drove it home, and got the second one in. My back is killing me. It is killing me. And I literally have this thing in. I open it immediately, go down to the bottom. All right, the bowl is good. We're solid. I do the install, and it takes me about a half hour. That's safe. So I get it together. It's in. And the last thing you do is put the lid on the back of the toilet where the water is, where the water tank is. And it's in a separate box inside of the box in its own packaging. I open that up, and the effing lid is the lid is shattered into 30 pieces. And the toilet's now already bolted into my floor, sealed with caulk. Everything's in. I said caulk. And it's all already done. And I'm like, what the hell? What in the F is happening? And I call Home Depot, but they're like, oh, well, you know, bring it. I can't bring back. I'm not unhooking the toilet from my wall and putting it back in the box. F you, I just don't have a lid. I'm literally going to have to call and just buy a lid for that thing and eat the cost because Home Depot sucks so bad. Here's what happened, too. When I went to the aisle, the toilet aisle, there was a dude in that aisle that was like the toilet guru. And I'm like, hey, dude, I was just here. I saw you here when I was here. That toilet I bought was smashed to shit when I opened that box. And he's like, really? That's really uncommon. Like, what do you mean? I go, well, go up. It's at the exchange desk. You can see it. It's shattered. And he goes, those things are put on pallets and wrapped and delivered here. He goes, there's no way that happened at the manufacturer. He goes, this is a Home Depot issue. He admits fault of Home Depot. And I'm like, well, is this common? Do people bring these back a lot? And he goes, no, it's uncommon. They're very sturdy product. Like, he assumed that basically someone with a forklift dropped a pallet of toilets, and then rather than know they effed up and probably cost the company a bunch of money and open them all to check them all, they just stuck them on the shelves, because that appears to be what happened. And I got two broken ones in a freaking row, and I'm pissed. I'm so pissed. I'm like, F Home Depot, eat a bag of these nuts in your mouth. I'm so pissed at Home Depot. And I'm old. And when I went in there, I was like, do you realize I'm old? And this is a heavy-ass box, and I ain't got time to be lugging this crap in and out, bringing it back. Your crap should be on the shelf and pristine condition when I get it. I lectured them. I gave them a stern talking to. You kids, get off my lawn. That's what I said. Let me have it. Now I'm all worked up. I need a drink. Ah, iced tea. It is so hot this weekend. Oh, man. All right, I don't have a. I went to look for health stories and workout stories and mental health stories and all the stuff I typically do on the show, and there was nothing good that I wanted to discuss on the show today. So I decided to go into a couple stories. This one I talked about on the last podcast, and it's got a celebrity angle, and I saw this. Pax Jolie, which is Angelina Jolie's 20-year-old adopted son. Remember, they have Maddox. He's the oldest one. And then Pax is another one, and I'm not sure. I don't want to be racist and say where that kid's from. He's Asian. It's one of the Asian kids. And apparently, on July 29th, had a crash on an e-bike in heavy traffic in Los Feliz and was seriously injured, like in ICU seriously injured. They say not wearing a helmet. We just talked about this. I don't know if it was a rental. I would imagine if you are a Jolie Pitt child, it's probably your e-bike that your parents bought you. But this kid was really messed up. And What's funny is I looked at the story. I mean, nothing funny about that. That's awful, and I hope he's all right. They say he's now out of ICU and is going to be better and has to start a lot of physical therapy, and it's going to be a long road to recovery. So this kid was seriously injured. They say a severe traffic collision on his e-bike. Once again, not wearing a helmet. If it's a severe traffic collision, I'm going to assume going fast, not wearing a helmet. There needs to be legislation. If you have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle legally, there's no reason in hell that you're not wearing a helmet if you're on an e-bike. What's the difference between a motorized electric bike and a motorized motorcycle? There isn't. There isn't, especially when it's going 30 miles an hour. And there isn't. So they're going to have to change that because this is going to happen more and more and more. But when I read the article, it went into his mother has remained at his side as well as his siblings, who are all very tight-knit. And all it did was basically say, Brad Pitt sucks. Brad Pitt's not here. Brad Pitt's his crappy dad. That's what the article said without saying it. It was like the political spin you see and no blaming on either party here. They all do it, like each side. The left-wing news will just write every story as awful slanted as you can against Trump, and the righty news will do the same story with the nasty spin against Kamala Harris. Like, that's what they do. That's their job. But this article was written like, oh, they're taking digs at Brad Pitt without saying Brad Pitt's a crappy dad. That's what I read when I saw that article. I was like, wow, what did he do? Like, why is he on the outs with... and I think I saw it on People Magazine is where I saw that story. I was like, what happened with him? And then another story that I have, which is strange, living where I live. I was in my front yard today playing with the dogs, and I see a lady coming down the street on a bicycle, and I'm like, wow, that lady has a ton of plastic surgery. But I live in Pacific Palisades. You're going to see that. And there's also a lot of celebrities here. And then I start to realize, hey, I think that lady is Nikki Cox. Nikki Cox, the actress who used to be on the show Vegas and was married to Jay Moore. And I know they lived here. They're not married anymore. I knew they were divorced. But they lived here because at one point their kid played soccer, like I'm talking like three-year-old soccer, when my daughter played that for 1 year before she told my wife soccer sucks. And I remember them being at the game with their kid. So and they're right here. There's an elementary school walking distance from my house, and that's where our games were, and we would see them there. So I knew they lived here, and it was a local league. So I see her, and I'm like, wow, I haven't seen her in ages. And then I start thinking, what happened to Jay Moore? Like, he was on my favorite ghost show with Jennifer Love Hewitt. Remember that? He was on that. He had a lot of stuff going on. Then he had his own series on, like, Fox or whatever it was, Gary Unmarried. And then I haven't seen anything of that guy. So I Google. I'm like, I just saw her go by. That was Nikki Cox. I'm like, what happened to Jay? I did not know this. In fact, I didn't know it so much, I had to call Jack. Old podcasters know Jack of the Jack and Stretch show. I had to call Jack and be like, dude, when did this happen? And how did I not know this? Jay Moore is now married to a former dear friend of the old radio show, Jeannie Buss, owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm like, shut the front door. Jeannie likes old dudes. Remember, she was all goo goo gaga over Phil Jackson. They were a hot item for a long time. And now she is not only dating but married to Jay Moore. They got married last year, and I had no idea. And what's weird is I like Jay. Jay was a funny comic. Have interviewed him before, had him on the show. But I love Jeannie. Oh, my God, that's a wonderful, nice lady. And she was such a good friend of the old Jamie Danny show, Jamie Jack and Stan show. She was always super cool to us. Love, love, love her. And it's weird, but I just don't see those two together. It was so bizarre that I didn't know that. And here's a fun Jay Moore story that you have heard before if you are down with the Jack and Stretch podcast of yesteryear. There was a time that Jay came in, and this is old star in the old building before Clear Channel moved everybody into one big room over in Burbank. We were in a building called the Daltz Building. And Jay came up to do the show, and he came in, and it was early, like 7 o'clock or whatever, and he came up by himself, no publicist, no people, and he was promoting something. And he comes in, and this, you could tell he had been out partying the night before. And it was early as hell. And he was dragging being up early. It was like, where's the coffee? And, you know, I'm talking to him, get him set up. And then he comes in and he's in the studio and we go to commercial break. And I'm not kidding. We're all in there and everybody's just talking and we're, you know, typical stuff, small talk with your guest. And it starts to smell like someone just crapped in their pants. It is someone crapped in their pants. The most awful. And that smell typically, unless someone didn't crap in their pants, comes from somebody was out drinking last night and partying. And we're like, what in the hell? And so everyone immediately thinks Danny. And what's weird is I'm a typical knuckle-dragging Neanderthal of a man, but Jamie's in there. I'm not going to do that around girls. Like, believe me, my buddies are there and one of them's asleep. I'm going to pull my pants down and try to fart on your face because that's what guys do. I don't know why we find that stuff hysterical, but it is. It's never not funny. But at this point, I'm not going to, you know, Monica was there. The other the interns were usually girls. Jamie's there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not the dude that's going to just let them rip. Well, someone did. And Jack's not that guy either. So we think it's Danny. And then it's like, wait a minute. But I think Danny was out smoking because it was a commercial break. So we're like, did Danny crap his pants and leave the room? Like, what's happening? Like, and finally, Jay has to admit, it was Jay. Jay just thought he was going to squeak one out. And it ended up being the most foul fart. Like, it was god-awful. It was hysterical in the end. But, yeah, Jay. And then I think Jamie literally crucified him after that because that's what Jamie does best. Jamie is, as a producer of Jamie for a long time, I can tell you this lovely thing about Jamie White. Most celebrities don't want to do that show. And either they love to do it and can't wait to get in there and they love her to death because they get her, or they're like, oh, F no, am I going on that? It's a really hard show to book talent for because when people find out it's Jamie, they typically say, no, I'm not doing it because Jamie is not nice to guests. And that is what but that's why she's so good. That's why it's so entertaining to listen to her, because most people just kiss their ass and lob softballs at them. I'm looking at you, Ryan Seacrest. Kiss their butt, get in, get out. I had this big star on, look at me. Well, Jamie's not getting the big stars because she's mean as hell to everyone and shreds them. And I mean that in the most loving way, because there's not a better interview than listening to her do that to someone. It's just amazing. But we never had Jay back again after that. Just like I saw guys, Joe Rogan's story. I guess a lot of people are just panning his Netflix special. He had a live Netflix special over the weekend. I did not watch it, but had a lot of trans jokes and stuff like that. Basically, he went old school comedian when you could still tell jokes and it didn't matter if you offended people, they're jokes. And that's apparently what he did in the Netflix special. So we'll watch the pushback. But they hate him because he's so big and he's really became a voice of the right. And that's put a target on that dude. And he's the most listened to podcast in the freaking world. And the dude is getting $100 million a year from Spotify. And the people that work at Spotify hate him just because they're typically, you know, they're a media company that's going to be left-leaning and here's kind of right-wing Rogan. So we're used to seeing that. I want to see if this furor dies down or if they continue to push. And if they boycott, nothing's going to happen. Like, that dude's untouchable at this point. He's got so many listeners and he's really became the voice of reason in the podcasting world. Whereas people are, because he says a lot of crap that's not aligned with the right. It's just the fact that he agrees with them on a lot of stuff makes him marked for death in the general media. So we'll see what happens with Rogan on that one. Oh, boy, what is my time? Let me look at my time. I will tell you my new challenge. Oh, I'm right at the marker. It's time to get up out of here. My new challenge for this week is 65,000 steps. That is 15,000 more steps than last week's challenge. And I almost hit that this week with a huge Saturday. And I will tell you, I got about 4,000 steps in because of Home MFing Depot. This is where about 4,000 steps came from, going in there, moving around, da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, and I had a lot of yard work, too. I was working. I had to fix a fence. I had to work on my deck where the lovely new dog had done some damage. There was just stuff I had to do around the house. And playing musical freaking toilets was not good at all. Home Depot can suck my old butt is what they can do. All right, I'm getting out of here. You guys have a wonderful week. Get your steps in, get your walk on, get your workout in. And remember, you're going to get curveballs like I got on Friday where the wife's like, yeah, hey, I want to go with you. I'll walk Nova and you can walk ice. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm not ever going to tell her, no, you can't go with me. So, but I only want to go around. And so that at that point, she cut my walk basically in half. And I did not come. My goal was to hit this week. I'll do 8,000 a day. And I'll be cool. And I did over 8,000 every single day except Friday when I got intervened with. And I was, traffic was horrible. I got home late. Everything just was working against me. And that's going to happen. That's part of the fitness journey. And when you're setting goals, be prepared for some curveballs. I know my boss could call me at any minute and be like, I need you to do this and this and this. And then work out for that. That day is done. I'm toast. I'm working. And I am not going to hit my goals on that day. That day is scrapped. And that'll happen, and I will fail a challenge. But let's hope I don't. Let's get to 65,000 steps this week. Keep you knowing on the Ozempic. I know the appetite right now is suppressed as of tonight, but it wasn't this morning. And we'll see. You also get heartburn from that a little. Like, I'll notice, because I never get that, and I'll have it a little, you know, not bad, but I have it a little bit. And that's another side effect. So there you go. Get ready to tackle the week. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Appreciate you guys all over the world. Get on your fitness goals and be kind to yourself and be gentle and you'll get your goals. Just stay on target. Consistency really is the name of the game here. And I will talk to you guys again on Friday with a bonus pod. So have a great week.